Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird.
Is Charles still in this meeting?
Yeah.
Damn, only I've left the corkscrew in that office. I don't suppose I could interrupt an important meeting and say I've just come for the corkscrew, could I?
Not really, no.
Well, in that case, I'm reduced to the indignity of doing some work. What have you got in the way of new clients? Preferably something interesting, but somehow easy.
We've had a letter from the British Association of Hatmakers.
Who?
They want us to relaunch the image of the hat. You know, make it fashionable to wear hats again. I mean, people just don't wear hats now, do they? I mean, they used to.
Well, that's money for old rope, isn't it? We get a few celebrities, a quick photo shoot, a slogan. I feel a prat without my hat, something of the sort. And a big fat invoice. Yes, yeah, all right, you can stick that in my in-tray. Anything else?
Oh, yeah, Delia Smith rang.
Really?
She wants to relaunch her image. She wants people to stop thinking of her as a goody two-shoes.
Delia Smith, the bitch in the kitchen. Well... There'll be lunch in it, if nothing else. Yes, all right, I'll have that one as well. Oh, Charles, come on. I want my morning claret. Sonny's over the yardarm. If it isn't, I'll get a new yardarm.
I'm sure he won't be much longer.
Who's this meeting with?
Oh, it's some woman.
Oh, that's very informative, Sandy. What woman, precisely?
She's from some organisation that wants to reform the prison system.
You mean some wet liberal social worker type?
Yeah, that sort of woman.
In which case, she'll have no money. Why the dickens is Charles spending so much time with a client who's got no money?
Prison does not work, that's the point.
And it's a very good point, and one that needs making by somebody else. Look, you want us to treat criminals with compassion and understanding, to be liberal and humane.
Yes, exactly.
And you've made a powerful case. I do not question your logic, just your sanity.
Look, I know it won't be easy.
The last time a potential client said that to me, it was a chap at Old Trafford. He said, I want you to make people love Manchester United. I know it won't be easy. I'm afraid we did not take the commission. Let me put it this way. You want P. McSee to use our influence with politicians.
I want you to persuade the Home Secretary to start telling people the truth.
Yes, you do, don't you? It would be funny if it weren't so tragic.
Persuade him to show moral backbone.
My dear child, this Home Secretary's backbone is like an eel with itching powder up its anus. He learns what to think from rabid tabloid newspapers and mobs in Portsmouth who beat up paedophiles and then beat up paediatricians and then beat up anybody who's ever been for a pee. I'm sorry, prison reform is an idea whose time has not come.
So you won't help?
Look, are you stuck in that chair?
It's just that we were hoping that ex-offenders in prominent positions would feel motivated to join us.
Well, let's hope they do.
You know, people who've been in prison but are now highly respectable.
Yes?
I mean someone rich and successful now who once got convicted of signing checks in the names of Donald Trump, Donald Duck and the Sultan of Brunei and got 6 months, as you did, Mr. Prentice.
Ah, yes. Well, that's a trifling minor misdemeanour that might befall any young chap of spirit.
Of course it was, and I'm sure that your politician friends will see it in that light.
Oh, I see. So this is a wheeze, is it?
Sorry, a wheeze?
It's blackmail.
Of course it isn't. Blackmail is a criminal offence.
So if I don't take this commission, you won't leak to my Whitehall friends irrelevant details from the distant past?
Certainly not. Of course, I can't speak for my colleagues. They don't all have my moral backbone.
I just wanted a week or two in a £1,000-a-night luxury hotel suite. What's wrong with that?
You couldn't pay for it, of course.
No, but I felt sure that the people who did pay for it unwittingly would have paid wittingly if I'd asked them, which technically I didn't.
So, how did you get caught?
It was the magnums with champagne that did it. The Sultan of Brunei doesn't drink. You don't mind desperately, do you?
Mind? Of course I don't. I think it's rather stylish. But look, we're not really going to take this commission, are we?
She made a very persuasive case.
She threatened you with exposure.
Well, Prentice McCabe has used threats in its time. She did it rather well. But no, I mean, actually, the case itself is persuasive. The whole argument that prison works is utter nonsense.
Charles, I always feel a slight pang of anxiety when I think you're starting to believe in what you're doing. Your role in this organisation is to take a cool, cynical look at any proposal put to this company and ask, is there money in it for Prentice McCabe?
Well, yes.
I am the conscience of this outfit.
Well, if you'd rather have the account, then I'll do Delia Smith and the hats.
Look, I know we're in a position to pick and choose nowadays. We don't have to take on any individual client if we don't want to, but we cannot afford to be associated with a total disaster. There are still other agencies in the field, people who'd love to see us fall on our faces.
There's no earthly reason for us to fall on our faces, and I don't know, she does have a good case.
Your whiskies, monsieur.
Ah. Thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice, one man may toast his muffins before the fine fireplace of privilege, whilst another contracts pneumonia in the knackers of nonentity. Get back to nonentity, Maurice.
Oui, monsieur.
Psst, Charles, over here.
Ah, over there.
Are you sure this is safe?
Of course this is safe. This is BBC Television Current Affairs. There's nobody here at all.
Now, look, what's all this about?
Well, I'm here rather unusually as a supplicant, Archie. I represent the broad umbrella movement to reduce the accent on prison.
Bum rap?
Quite so. And I know I will find a receptive audience. Where are you going?
These are the people who want us to let everybody out of prison in the run-up to an election.
Archie, all I'm asking you to do is to listen to the facts.
Not when I'm trying to write a manifesto.
And then I want the Home Secretary to tell people the truth.
Don't be ridiculous, Charles.
Archie, I feel sure that this case, properly argued, will appeal to the fundamental good sense of the British people.
Charles, the fundamental good sense of the British people is that anybody who steals a small packet of cornflakes should be flogged, hanged, drawn, quartered, and locked in a room with Anne Widdecombe.
Are you going to submit cravenly, supinely, knicker-wettingly to a tabloid agenda?
Yes, that's what we've been doing for the last 4 years. Forget this one, Charles, you're on a loser.
Any more of this and I shall be forced to talk to the Liberal Democrats.
Now you're being silly.
Well, will you at least agree to meet an official bum-rap spokesman?
Not this side of the election. Now, you'll have to excuse me. I'm having lunch with the editor of The Sun.
What does that entail, exactly?
What?
Having lunch with the editor of The Sun. Do they serve baked hamster? Do they ask you breast or leg? Or do they just give you a barrel and you scrape the bottom of it?
I did warn you, Charles.
Archie wouldn't even listen.
You said you wanted a challenge, now you've got one. Ah, now that I do like.
What's that?
It's a picture of Delia Smith with a sumo wrestler. What do you think? They won't be calling her a goody two-shoes after that, will they?
No, good lord.
I think this is the poster for your hat campaign.
Oh, splendid.
Let's have a look. Wherever I lay my hat, that's my head. Oh, you have been a busy little bee, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, one of us has to keep the Prentice McCabe flag flying, Charles. You know, the top agency in London, as you're always telling me. One of us has to do some work for real clients instead of hobnobbing with criminals, whatever it is you've been doing.
I have been seeking to persuade Archie that it is time the government did something courageous and difficult.
And failing.
Well, yes, and failing, for the time being.
You remember when my dad was in Strange Ways?
Ah, yes.
And you said you'd use your influence at the parole board? And you did, and you got an extra 4 years.
Well, we did our best, Sandy.
I'm not blaming you. I was only wondering if it could be some help. You know, somebody with direct knowledge of the system.
Well, I suppose it's a thought. What's your father actually doing at the moment?
3 years in Brixton.
Well, now, you see, this is exactly my point. Sandy's father is living proof that prison does not work. A man who needed a liberal, humane approach based on rehabilitation.
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly. My dad's basically an evil bastard. He's beyond hope, really.
How very filial of you to say so.
Anyway, it was just a thought.
And a very good thought, Sandy.
Well, I, at any rate, call that a good day's work. Drink at the club?
Yes, I suppose so. Actually, what I really feel like doing tonight is giving someone the benefit of my body.
Got it.
You got the account?
The whole of Labour's Get Tough on Crime campaign will be handled by the Gail Shand Agency right up to the election and beyond. High profile, big money. I mean, I know it'll involve us in a lot of extra work.
Well, I'd hardly have survived 3 years as your personal assistant if I minded work, would I?
Well, cheer up then. Come on, get your coat. I'll take you out for a meal or something. Do you think we should give the Home Secretary a campaign song? Something macho and tough. To beef up his image.
Yeah, good idea.
What about I'm too sexy for my shirt? Mind you, the Home Secretary isn't too sexy for his shirt. Right, you ready then? Remember, I've got to be at Heathrow by 4 to meet a man who claims to be my husband. I only hope I still recognise him. Janice, what's the matter?
Well, I'm really sorry, but there was a phone call from Philadelphia. Jim can't come.
But I haven't seen him in 4 months. Why the hell not?
Apparently there's a really important conference on the reproductive habits of tsetse flies.
Yes, well, I can see that that would be more important than seeing me.
It's really hard having a husband who's 3,000 miles away, isn't it?
It is when you feel like giving somebody the benefit of your body.
It's an excellent video, Martin.
The hat makers are very happy, and I've invoiced them for a perfectly stupendous amount. How are you doing?
Well, making slow but steady progress.
You're not getting anywhere, are you?
Well, it scarcely carries conviction, Martin, when I'm on one phone trying to persuade a government minister to rise above the crude simplicities of a tabloid agenda, and you're on the other line saying, are you happy with that Delia love, or does it need a bit more tit?
If you had just sold your client's saucy kitchen secrets to the Daily Mail for a six-figure sum, you'd be forgiven a little over-exuberance. Charles, are you expecting a call or proposing to make one? You've been fingering that phone in a surreptitious manner.
No, I'm just trying to decide which leading opinion former to badger next, that's all. It's no great significance.
Mr. Prentice, there's a call for you. She said it was private and confidential.
Ah, I'll take it outside, Sandy.
Sandy? Who's on the line?
She said it was private.
This private individual, would her name be an anagram of Gail Shand, by any chance?
Well...
Yes, I thought so. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
This is just a drink, Charles, OK?
I'd hardly say that. It's a rather decent burgundy. But yes, I know what you mean. Just a drink. How's the insect specialist?
Well, mainly he's not here.
You never even told me off for calling him an insect specialist.
That's nothing to what I called him last night.
My baby, he love insects more than he love me. My baby done left me for a dung beetle.
Something like that, yes. It's bloody ironic, isn't it? I left you for him.
Yes, you did. I had quite forgotten.
And all the time, he's 3,000 miles away, and you couldn't keep your hands 3 inches away.
Yeah, even in built-up areas.
Especially in the built-up areas.
Still, just a drink.
For old time's sake. They were good times, though, I must admit.
Another, I think, of the Alox Courton.
Coming up.
Remember that night at the Ritz?
It was our first night.
We did it to Mozart.
And Mozart was never the same again. That night in the Great Eastern at Liverpool Street.
We went right through the Enigma variations, including several that Elgar had never thought of.
Your wine.
Thank you. That night in the Lake District.
Yes, who was that?
Vaughan Williams.
Oh, yes. Fantasia on a theme by Tommy Tassel. I was never very sure whether you were making love to me or to the music.
Oh, Gail, sweeter than music are you. Gayer than laughter are you. The Mozart helped, of course. Do you know, I once chatted up a woman. Now, this was long before you, of course, not remotely in your class.
Of course not.
And she said, Charles, I can't possibly do that. I'm a good Catholic girl. So I said, that's all right, we'll do it to Bach's Mass in B minor. And she hit me.
I can't imagine why.
Still, just a drink.
For old time's sake.
Good afternoon, sir. Welcome to the Ritz Hotel. How can I help you?
I'd like to book a room, please.
Certainly, sir. In what name?
The Ludwig van Beethoven Society.
You'd like a conference suite with full office facilities?
No, just a bed.
I got it.
Ah, well done.
It's a double CD compilation. Beethoven's big ones.
Are you quite sure you don't want fax, phone and email?
No, a bed will be quite sufficient, thank you, for the minutes and matters arising.
I can offer you secretarial backup.
Well, that opens up a whole new vista, but no, I think not.
Hello again.
Ah, Charlotte.
Can I introduce you to Jane Cummings from the Prison Reform Trust and Gavin Titley from NACRO?
Pleased to meet you.
Hello.
Hi.
Is Charles here?
Not as such, no, but I'm sure he'll be coming at any minute.
I'm sorry, Gail can't come to the phone at the moment. Yes, of course, I realise it's urgent. I appreciate the Police Federation is an important occasion. Look, I do assure you that Gail is writing the speech as fast as she can. She's extremely strict about serving clients. Look, I promise it will be with you very shortly. I'm ever so sorry the Home Secretary's been kept waiting. I know that Gail is working on it at this very moment.
Look, just this once, OK, because we need it.
Once? We've got 9 symphonies and 32 piano sonatas to get through. Once?
Oh, you know what I mean.
You're not getting cold feet, are you?
A bit. Oh, Charles.
Mr. McCabe, you know those prison reform people? They formed an escape committee.
Well, give them some coffee.
They've had 4 cups already. Where is he? The last thing he said before he went out was, could I be sure to be back from luncheon time, because this meeting's really important.
Then he heard the magic words, Gail Shand.
Well, you'll have to take the meeting.
Sandy, I don't know the first thing about prison reform.
Let's never stop Mr. Prentice.
Excuse me, is Mr. Prentice going to be much longer?
Let me put it this way. Sandy's father is doing 3 years in Brixton.
Really?
And this has led Sandy to make a detailed study of prison conditions in this country, and indeed I have no hesitation in calling her an expert. Isn't that right, Sandy?
Yeah.
And I know that Sandy would welcome this chance to talk to you for an hour, or possibly two, whilst I unfortunately have to go out to a meeting. Isn't that right, Sandy?
Yeah. I'm an expert on evil, lazy, no-good bastards. Isn't that right, Mr. McCabe?
Yeah.
Well, I have got some ideas for the beginning. OK, it's please welcome the Home Secretary and the lights go down. And then we get Tom Jones doing the green, green grass of home. And when he gets to the bit, then I awake and look around me at the four grey walls that surround me. The lights go up. And the minister says, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the Police Federation, go ahead, punks, make my day.
Oh, hell.
Oh, Charles.
Oh, Gail.
Oh, Charles.
Oh, oh, God, oh, hell. Oh, oh. Oh. Ah.
One double bed, £2,000.
And worth every penny.
And worth leading your prison reform friends hanging about for 2 hours.
Martin, I'm sure you coped with them perfectly well.
Well, actually, Sandy coped with them perfectly well. She talked to them about her father. By the time she'd finished, three of them came out in favour of the death penalty.
Oh, dear.
Charles, look, you know how I hate this sort of thing, but we're going to have a serious talk.
Yes. Yes, of course we are. Martin, I have sinned against Sandy and against thee.
Yes, you have.
And you have every right to be solemnly paternal. You're magnificent when you're solemnly paternal.
Charles, you've let down a client who put their trust in you. That is a failure of professional duty.
Yes, Martin.
You know, when I was a young man, it wasn't long after I got my first from Cambridge.
You never miss a chance to get that in, do you?
I just started work and my boss called me into his office and he said, young man, there is a spiritual impoverishment in doing any job badly. And I was rather a bumptious lad, fresh out of Cambridge, where I got a first, actually. But it made a very powerful impact on me. In many ways, that man is responsible for any little thing I may have achieved.
Any little thing? A BAFTA award for best supporting pompous old fart in the office? It's not a little thing.
Charles, you are, for 90% of the time, the coldest, most ruthless, most efficient human being I know. That woman flicks her fingers at you and it all goes haywire. Don't let it destroy you. Nothing is secure forever to a man determined to throw it all away, hell-bent on making a fool of himself, resolved to wreck it all.
Not entirely, Martin. Do you know, we once did it to Handel. Handel's Largo is a very erotic piece of music,
Martin. I don't want to hear about it, Charles.
Although it does lack what I might call the thrust of music for the Royal Fireworks, to say nothing of the entry of the Queen of Sheba.
Charles, honestly.
A thousand apologies. I'm sorry. Some things in life are best kept private. You're quite right. Now, Wagner really would represent a challenge, wouldn't he? Apart from anything else, the ring cycle lasts for 16 hours. Have you ever tried keeping it up for 16 hours?
Charles!
Martin? I'm sorry, Martin. You know, if I didn't know you better, that woe-begone look on your face would lead me to think that you were jealous.
My private life is deeply happy, thank you. It's also thoroughly respectable, and it does not interfere with work. It was wasted, wasn't it? Every word I said to you yesterday was wasted.
Not entirely.
You took not the slightest notice of my advice.
I did take just a little notice, actually. Martin, my dear old friend, in your capacity as my moral guardian, would you accept the proposition that all's fair in love and war? Would you, for example, accept that these were fair?
Good grief. You had yourself photographed?
In flagrante delicto and in the Ritz.
Good heavens. Charles, is there no limit to your degradation?
Strictly business. You see, that is what the Home Secretary's speechwriter was doing whilst composing a speech about punishment.
Oh. Ah.
Exactly. It does cause one to re-examine the whole concept of penal policy. On the front of an appropriate tabloid juxtaposed with the Home Secretary's speech, I cannot help feeling that these little souvenirs would make an impact.
They'll do that, all right.
And there is, of course, another aspect to the matter.
Good heavens. Charles!
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I now turn to something delicate and sensitive. Quite so. As I say, Martin, there is another aspect. The Home Secretary's speechwriter is a married woman. I think that should add a certain piquancy to the minister's much-trumpeted stance on family values.
It'll be dynamite.
I'm rather afraid it will. I can't quite imagine what Readers of the Sun will make of it. To think that's what she was doing whilst mentally concocting the line, "I will stand firm on stiff penalties."
Does Gail know about these photographs?
Not yet, no, but she will know. I fear it may be rather a distressing experience for her.
There is one slight problem, Charles. If the illustrious Miss Shand appears on the front of the Sun, then so will you.
You will note that my face is not actually visible in any of these photographs.
No, I suppose not.
In any case, perhaps they won't get as far as the tabloids. One does strive to avoid unpleasantness.
No, Charles, you go out of your way to find unpleasantness.
Yes, I suppose I do.
And I thought you were genuinely besotted with that woman.
Oh, but I am. A wheeze on this scale is a compliment to her.
You really enjoy it, don't you?
So do most people.
I mean, having power over Charles Prentice.
Well, it's that look of hopeless devotion.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yes, it's like having a devoted pet. It does simplify matters when pillow talk is confined to fetch, stay and walkies.
You're a very cruel woman.
I know. Anyway, what's been happening?
Well, remember you've got a photo shoot with the Home Secretary at 4. His office rang to say what should he wear.
Well, surf the net, get me some ideas. Power dressing for the modern politician.
Gail, you've had an email with a picture attached. It's not power dressing. In fact, it's not any dressing at all.
Well, what is... Oh, God.
I look forward to your day in the sun, Charles Prentice.
Archie, you really are being quite exceptionally obtuse.
Frankly, Charles, it seems to me you're playing poker with a deceptively weak hand.
Well, look at these cards. Read them and weep.
Yes, thank you. I've seen them. And so what? I mean, all right, a woman who is employed on a freelance basis to write speeches for the Home Secretary has been having a fling with some mystery man. So what? Okay, she will cease to be employed.
Well, that certainly.
But how does it affect the Home Secretary's position? There's no suggestion that he's directly involved.
Archie, was it a particularly lean year for Labour spin doctors when they let you in? The point, my dear, is ridicule. I mean, when all is said and done, who cares if somebody does it wearing a Chelsea football shirt? It's not important. It's rather sweet in a way. But sadly, when the private becomes painfully public, it is inescapably ridiculous. That is what makes a man's position untenable. The ridicule.
What you say is true, but how does it affect the Home Secretary?
Well, my point, in words of very short syllables, is this. When this young Shand woman was doing what she was doing, she was simultaneously composing a speech for the Police Federation.
You've got no evidence for that?
Other than the tape.
What tape?
Oh, Archie, you're talking to Charles Prentice. The conversation, such as it was, is faithfully recorded in remarkably good sound quality. When, for example, they were doing this... She can quite distinctly be heard saying, "I am all for the upstanding citizen."
Oh, grief.
See, Archie? Ridicule. Every time from now on the man speaks, people will be wondering what his speechwriter was up to. Something as innocuous as, "I will not take the crime figures lying down," will produce derision.
Oh, hell.
He will become a constant source of unintended merriment, a joke, a farce, a cure for incontinence.
Yes, thank you, Charles. You've made your points.
Yes, haven't I?
You bastard.
Well, that is rather why I'm employed.
I just can't believe that you had us photographed.
I told the hotel it was for the souvenir album of the Handel Society.
But why?
Love and war, my dear. Love and war.
They won't really appear in the tabloids.
Oh, no need to worry on that score. They've served their purpose.
Well, there's not a lot else to say, is there?
Oh, I don't know. What about fetch, stay and walkies? Of course, this does mean you'll never work again, doesn't it? Unfortunately. Still, eggs and omelettes and all that.
I don't think I'd count on it.
Gail, the umpire has said game, set and match. Shake the victor's hand and smile bravely through the tears.
The Home Secretary said he would stand down after the election for personal reasons and that he'd wish to spend more time with his chihuahuas. The Prime Minister expressed his deep regrets, although the resignation was welcomed by the broad umbrella movement to reduce the accent on prison. Reports are coming in of a prison disturbance in Brixton.
Was there really a tape?
Oh, no, no, no. Archie was quite right up to a point. I was playing poker.
And you won.
Well, I've made a start. I've changed the man. I was, of course, hired to change the policy. That is phase two.
You really are committed to this prison reform, Lark, aren't you?
Well, who is it who's been saying, Prentice McCabe, is that all there is? Wouldn't it be good if we could really make a difference to something? How are hats, by the way?
Oh, but I'm down to tell you the truth. I established the man people most associate with hats is Boy George. I mean, all right, wouldn't you like to look like Boy George? Fine. I think Millwall Football Club may have been the wrong place to launch the campaign. It met a certain amount of good-natured violence.
Mr. Prentice, is it all right if I take the rest of the day off?
Yes, yes, of course it is. I think we've all earned a bit of celebration.
Is everything all right?
Well, there's been a prison riot at Brixton in D-Wing. They've taken two Labour MPs hostage.
Sandy, your father...
is in D-Wing. See ya.
Charles, how do you feel a prison riot is going to help your campaign?
It isn't. She couldn't have done, could she? No, I mean, not even Gail Shan could organise a prison riot. That really is too fantastic.
For you, 6 games all, tiebreak. Love and kisses, Gail.
Ah, well now, there's a wheeze.
You have been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird, with Tamsin Gregg, Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes, Beth Chalmers and Claire Corbett. The music was by Matthew Scott. The executive producer was Paul Schlesinger. The producer was Dawn Ellis.